Now we come to the Lord's Supper. If you need the bread and the wine, feel free to get up now if you didn't have a chance to gather them as you came in the door. And we're gathered together, those of us who are here, those of us who are joined in sight and sound at the same time online, we are together at this table. As you come to this table, I want you to think of it this way. There's a couple that I knew. They struggled over the matter of Christmas gifts. Christmas gifts was a time of controversy rather than sweetness many times for them. The husband would give gifts like perfume or jewelry another year or a different kind of jewelry the next year. And the wife was often, maybe always, frustrated by these gifts because she wanted something different. She wanted something more. One Christmas morning, the husband had no wrapped present, no wrapped package. Instead, he announced, this year, my gift is a commitment to spend time with you every week. We will go out each week, just the two of us. Well, what did the wife think of that gift? She liked it very much. Why? Well, it was because all those prior years, she struggled to receive the gifts because she did not feel loved. The gift was nothing personal if there was no love in the relationship. She didn't feel wanted. No matter how expensive the perfume, no matter how costly the piece of jewelry was, she didn't feel wanted by her husband. But this gift, entered into by his own free will, said, I want to be together with you because I love you. Now, how do you know that someone loves you? Isn't it true that one of the ways that you're convinced that someone loves you is when they show they want to be around you? They want to spend time with you. Best friends make plans to choose careers that will put them in the same place, in the same city, so that they can be around one another, living in the same town. Married love is expressed by living in the same town, in the same house. You spend your time close to the people you love. 1 Corinthians 10 describes this supper as a way to know that you're loved by Jesus, as a way to be close to Jesus. It says there, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That word communion, speaking of the bread and the wine, that word communion can be rendered fellowship, sharing, participation. Is this bread and this cup not the fellowship, the sharing with Christ? We are together. We are close with Jesus as we eat and as we drink his body, his blood at this table. The wine is his blood, shed and bled to pay the massive bill that we had racked up by our sin. The bread is his body, nailed to the cross as our substitute. As we partake of this, as we fellowship with him by these elements, we are remembering he loved me so much that he gave this gift of spending time together with us at this table and in our lives. And so we do this each week because Jesus has commanded us to remember him until he comes in this way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what we are doing, we do by faith. And we ask that as we take of the bread and the wine, spiritually, you would be near us, you would nourish us, that we would be close to you. Some of the theologians speculated that as we exercised faith by doing this, you took us up into the throne room of heaven, and there we fed on Jesus, with Jesus, in his presence, as close to him as we could be. And we do it week by week, declaring, we need this. We need to be near you. We need to take you into our lives. We need you to keep the life in us growing. Make our faith to be realized, Lord. Feed us through this supper, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you are here this morning and you have come to know God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, and if you're a member in good standing of a gospel-believing church, you're invited to come to this table, Christ's table. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we're very glad that you're with us, and we hope that you'll stay and remain afterwards and give us a chance to tell you more about what we believe, what we do, why we do it. But we warn you not to take this supper. It's not a mere external ritual. It would not help you. It would harm you to take this if you are not in Christ. Now, as we come to the table, we remember what Jesus says. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples as I am ministering in his name. Give this bread to you. When he did it, Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take and eat together the body of Christ. In the same manner, Jesus also took the cup, and having given thanks, as has been done in his name, he gave it to his disciples, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He gave his life as a ransom for the many to remove their sins. Drink from it, all of you. Let's do that together. The blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, you have shown us a mercy which is rich. It's hard for us to continually face the great offensiveness and the huge quantity of our sins. But we can come to face this every week, every day, because as massive and overwhelmingly noxious as our sins are, it is completely removed from us. It was all placed on him, and his bright righteousness has been given to us. You see Christ when you see us. We are completely intertwined with him and bound up to him and united to him. We thank you for Christ who cleansed us from all sin and unrighteousness. And now we pray that you would work in us an eagerness, a zeal for good works. We pray that you would continue to form in him, form in us, his image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.